All right, welcome back to Between the Lines. Coming in shortly, we're going to talk with Fond du Lac Police Chief Bill Lamb, the police department getting a new unified mobile command post. The city council tonight will present a proclamation to recognize C.D. Smith Construction and J.F. Ahern Company for providing the $67,000 donation to make this possible. That's coming up on the final segment of the show. Donald Trump elected the 45th U.S. president as he became the first Republican since 1984 to win in Wisconsin. His victory was part of a GOP sweep in the state that will also lead to an expanded Republican majority in the Assembly, possibly the Senate. It was the lowest voter turnout in Wisconsin since 1996. Henrik Schatzinger is a political science professor at Ripon College, and he joins us on the show, and it's a pleasure having you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So did you, were going into the election yesterday, did you think Trump had a shot? What were the odds Trump was going to pull off a win?
Well, students had asked me, and I said that there is a 70% chance that Trump or that Clinton would win, so that the odds were like, against him. But there was an outside shot for him, at least.
In terms of upsets, political upsets, given all of the how far we've come with polling and that kind of thing, how much of a shock?
I think it's unprecedented. I can tell you that right away that I cannot think of another election where, we have never had a president who came in with no military experience, who has never held public office, and who has beaten 16 opponents during the primary and run the table, so to speak. I think this is really unprecedented, and it will be something that, for me as a political scientist, it will be something that we'll not only analyze in the next days and weeks, but I want to say for the next months and years to come.
It's not just the United States. There are countries electing people kind of along these same lines, these wave of populism across the world. What do you make of that?
Right. Well, that's something I think that's a good observation that hasn't, I think, received enough attention even here in the domestic media. I was born and raised in Germany, and I'm looking at what's happening in Germany, where we have a new, it's called the AfD. It's a new party that has seen great success at the local level, at the state level. We will see at the federal level. And it's basically an anti-immigrant, an anti-refugee party that has seen, a strong rise among the same kind of voters that actually support Trump. If you look at the Trump supporters' profiles, they actually match up quite well with other voters in other countries. And we have seen it with Brexit. And I think if we're looking at the profile of voters, initially, many people were thinking, oh, we are looking at maybe the struggling working class. And that's part of, the answer, who is strong, strongly anti-establishment on both sides. But it goes beyond that. If we were looking at, again, the support and where it's coming from, there is an astonishing amount of support among people who work in manufacturing, people who are small business owners, people who do repair services, you name it. There are lots of, categories of employees or employers who are supporting this, this movement, as Trump has called it. And so basically what we are seeing is that this idea of a, free and open society, of a free trade, it's receiving some serious backlash these days.
Is, as the Pledge of Allegiance states, America one nation indivisible, or not so much?
Well, I think if anything from this election, that I want to say the culture wars are well and alive in this country, and we can't ignore this anymore, and think we're living in a post racial society, a post whatever society. No, I think if anything, there are huge, cliffs between the rural voters and the one in the urban centers. and we can, you know, slice and dice the population. But I think there are very, very different, I want to say, perspectives and worldviews and in our society. And to be honest, this is where, you know, Clinton has also then failed to capture, you know, some certain groups. The African-American turnout wasn't what she was hoping for. The Latino surge, as she was hoping for, didn't really materialize. And so I think, you know, again, there are many things to analyze here, but it's going to be very difficult to have really a united country. I think Trump's speech last night was a very good start, to be honest. I think he was gracious and somewhat humble and tried to say that he wants to, you know, basically reach across the aisle. So he's putting forward, I think, you know, some signals that he wants to unite the country. But I think it'll be a rough road ahead.
What does he have to do moving forward? I mean, last night people were scared when they heard the news that Trump had been elected. The markets went berserk,
right.
And like you said, his speech last night was conciliatory. It was gracious. He said the right things. I'm sure somebody got in his ear and said, "You." And he's smart enough to know that. I mean, we could see an economic crash depending on what he said last night. And so he did the right things last night. But what does he have to do now?
I think, you know, if we want to explain his success just one more time, kind of, I think. The premise of his campaign is that he was looking, I think, at a very important observation, which is that two-thirds of the country think that this country is on the wrong track. And we see these results day in or week in and week out. We've seen it over the last 16 years, in fact, that the majority of Americans think we're on the wrong track. And I think he put his sort of the pulse at the right places. I think, you know, he understands better than others at this point that, yeah, we can look at median household incomes. They actually have decreased slightly since 2000. But not only that, I think many Americans are struggling to make ends meet. At the same time, they may have the same median household income, but they may have two or three jobs to make that possible. And I think what we're seeing is if we're looking at expenditures, people's expenses, you know, healthcare costs are rising, premiums are going up, right? College costs have been going up beyond inflation for many years at this point. And, you know, so people notice, of course, and other examples, we can look at housing prices and so forth. And so I think what needs to happen looking forward is that both parties need to take a more serious look to see how can we address the concerns of the people? How can we address issues that deal with maybe minimum wage and or rising wages in general that people, you know, can really make steps forward in their lives? I feel many people are kind of left behind at this point. And so both sides have to come together and look at these factors.
In the weeks and months leading up to the election, when it looked like there was no chance for Donald Trump, the big question was, what is the shakeup going to be in the Republican Party? Do they continue down the populist path, or what do they do when they look for their next candidate? But now the bullseye is directly on the Democrats. What's the future of the Democratic Party, and how do they get some footing now moving forward and in 4 years find a candidate who can win?
Yeah, who would have thought that you would ask me this question, you know, right? Even like going into the election night last night, we always thought about the other way around. You know, what about the fractured Republican Party? Now we're looking at the Democratic Party, and rightfully so. I think the big question, I don't have the answer to that, but the big question is there was a lot of Bernie Sanders support out there, obviously, and I think, you know, many of them also have that, I want to say, anti-establishment, sort of skeptical of Wall Street sentiment, and so on. And how can they be integrated into the, I want to say, mainstream and more establishment party, right? And I am not sure exactly how that's going to work out. There will be a lot of soul searching, obviously, at this point. And, you know, one thing we have learned is that looking at get up the vote drives and all that, it didn't work out the way it was, Democrats were hoping for. So I think, the party will have to look at the own sort of factions within, within its party and see. And I think bottom line is, the Democratic Party has to really look at the white working class, those people who haven't gone to college. They are not capturing, they are those voters, right? Not at all. There is a huge gulf, obviously, between the Trump supporters who are white and not college educated and the ones who vote for Democrats. And so I think the Democrats need to establish a message that, resonates with also small town America. I don't see it at this point. What is their rural message, so to speak? I think there has been too much focus on like urban centers and maybe, some of the highly educated, professionals and managers, but we got to look at people, the little guys, so to speak.
Ripon College political science professor Henrik Schatzinger, great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me again.